Okay, welcome back. So we are starting tonight a topic in Hilchos Pesach because we figure we're in between Purim and Pesach. We'll talk about that to stall until we figure out our next topic. The title on top of your sheets is All About Mara Part 1. The reason why that is the title is because I don't know if there'll be a part 2, but we're definitely not going to cover All About Mara tonight. So once I wrote All About Mara, I get to step down the arrogance a little bit and write Part 1. By Part 1, I mean we're going to learn one thing about Mara. We're not going to learn all that much about Mara, but it was the title worked for the page. So we'll discuss the background tomorrow. We'll discuss some of the details, one particular detail about the halachos of Mara at the Seder. And we'll see. If we're interested, we'll explore another topic related to Mara next week or something else, or we'll figure it out as we go. So as we get into the detail that we want to get into, so we have to really start with where Mara comes from. So we all assume Mara is a mitzvah on Seder night, correct? That you have to eat Mara. Certainly you have to eat it. And even that it's a mitzvah, it's a command, probably from the Torah, to eat Mara on the Seder night. However, it's not entirely clear. If you look at the Pesukim in source number one, source number two, the pasuk here in Parshas Bo, Ba'achlus ha-basar by Laila Hazel, what's the basar? The meat is the carbon Pesach. Okay, so Ba'achlus ha-basar by Laila Hazel, tzli esh, that's to be roasted. Umatzos al merorim yochluhu. What does that mean? It's not easy Hebrew, so you shouldn't feel bad if you can't translate it. It doesn't read so smoothly. Umatzos al merorim yochluhu. So yochluhu, probably, according to most people, is going back on the carbon Pesach. Yochluhu, you should eat it. So yochluhu, the carbon Pesach, but it says umatzos al merorim yochluhu. So it sounds like it means and matzah on maror, you should eat it. So it's kind of like a gibberish, a type of sentence. What it seems to mean, we'll get into this a little bit more in depth soon, is that the carbon Pesach should be eaten in such a way that matzah and maror are eaten together with it. Little clearer in the pasuk parshas Ba'alosra, obviously that's referring to the carbon Pesach Sheni, but there are parallels. So in source number two, Ba'chodesh Hashini Ba'arba Asar Yom Bein Arba'im Yasu Oso, the carbon Pesach Al Matos Umrorim Yochluhu. So again, Yochluhu means the carbon Pesach shall be eaten. You have to eat the carbon Pesach Al Matos Umrorim with. Al doesn't always mean on top of. In the Hebrew language, there's Gemaras about this. Al sometimes means next to. It means related to. So it's with the matzos umarorim, together with matzah and with marah. Okay, so that's so far so good. So what do you have here? You have three mitzvos, correct? You have to eat the karm bezach, you have to eat matzah, and you have to eat marah. All of them appear in the pasuk. Okay. However, the implication does seem to be, the way it's presented here in the psukim, is that there's really one mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of together with Karban Pesach, right? Exactly, Karban Pesach. You have to eat the Karban Pesach. Together with the Karban Pesach, you have to have these condiments. You have to have like ketchup and mustard. Instead, you have matzah and marah. That's what it sounds like the pasuk is saying. That there's a mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach, and along with Karban Pesach, these are the side dishes you have to serve, matzah and marah. In fact, if you look in the Ramban, you have it in source number three. It's interesting in terms of grammar, Hebrew language, and also in terms of the implications of halacha l'maaseh, and in terms of counting mitzvos. But he basically says that the shi'uro means the way to interpret this pasuk, v'achlos habasar b'alayla zetzli esh, meaning you have to eat the carbon pesach roasted, u v'matzos umerorim yochluhu, together with matzah and marah. And he says missing letters, and he gives you other examples where al means this. V'yilam hin hakasuv, but the pasuk teaches us she'ein mitzvah b'merorim, he's going to say this a little bit more clearly in the second paragraph over here, but he says basically what it sounds like from the pasuk is that the Torah is teaching us that there is no mitzvah to eat maror. Rather, there's a mitzvah to eat maror with the carbon pesach. Keep reading the bold. The Torah commands you to eat the carbon pesach and the matzah. You probably have a question right now. It's okay. You could hold on to it in terms of matzah, but it doesn't give you a command on achilas maror. Rak amar sheyochlu lebasar im mirorim. Rather, it just says to eat the karm pesach together with the maror. Yirmos in the underline, it's hinting to us she'ein b'mirorim mitzvah. Rak lechol habasar imahim. There is no mitzvah to eat maror. The mitzvah is to eat the karm pesach, and the way to eat the karm pesach is with the maror. But there's no mitzvah to eat maror inherently. Ubizman she'ein basar ein b'mirorim mitzvah. And if you didn't have a karm pesach, there would be no mitzvah of maror at all. So, give me an example of a time where there's no karm pesach. Every single Seder you've ever been at, right? Meaning this, so it sounds like from here that the mitzvah of Mara is inherently and specifically, intrinsically tied to the Karban Pesach, and the Ramban explicates this, if you don't have a Karban Pesach, you don't have a mitzvah of Mara. That's what it sounds like over here. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Chaf Amaral, if you don't have it on the sheet in front of you, but you have a reference within the Rambam in source number four, the Gemara tells us, it makes this point very specifically about Mara, and the Gemara notes that matzah is different. Our pasuk makes them sound the same, right? Karban Pesach is the mitzvah, and then matzah and marah are the condiments for the Karban Pesach. But if you look at the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Chaf, the Gemara points out that there is another pasuk. The Torah comes back and tells us, Ba'erev tochlu matzos, that on the eve of Pesach, you have to eat matzah, meaning the Torah gives you a specific, explicit command to eat matzah on the Seder night, so it has its own mitzvah. Additionally, it's also supposed to be eaten with the Karban Pesach, but even without a Karban Pesach, you have a mitzvah of matzah. But the Torah never comes back and says, eat maror on the Seder night. So you have, again, two different pesukim. One is, eat the Karban Pesach with matzah and maror. Then the Torah comes and says, and also eat matzah. So we know that you have to eat matzah with the Karban Pesach. We also know you have to eat matzah without the Karban Pesach. Maror, we only know you have to eat the Karban Pesach. We never have anywhere where the Torah tells us that you have to eat maror without the Karban Pesach. So based on this, it sounds like the mitzvah of maror is a phantom mitzvah. It doesn't really exist. You'll tell me it's a detail. Sure, it's a detail. It's necessary. You have to eat maror if you have a Karban Pesach. It's the condiments. It has to go with the Karban Pesach. But if it's, you were counting mitzvahs over here, it's subsumed within the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, correct? That's what it sounds like from what we've learned until now. You look in source number 4, you'll see that's exactly what the Rambam does. The Rambam quotes two separate mitzvahs within his count of 613. Mitzvah Esei Nun Vav, which is what you have a clip from here in source number 4, he counts the Achilas Karban Pesach as a mitzvah. And in mitzvah Kuf Nun Ches, he quotes the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Was missing? Maror, but logically so, right? Maror is not its own mitzvah, but matzah is? Yeah, that's what we saw in the Gemara, that the Gemara says matzah has its own pasuk that comes back and says it has its own mitzvah, so that's a separate mitzvah. And the Rambam spells that out in source number 4. He explains that to you. Mitzvah Zesei Num Vav, he basically says that that the achilas karm pesach includes within it the achilah of mitzvah, the achilah of maror. If you look in the middle and the bold over here, avala maror hu nigrar la'achilas ha'pesach ve'inu nimna mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Maror is dragged along. It's secondary. It's tafel to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and doesn't get counted on its own. The Rambam spells this out in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Zayin, and he references it also in Hilchos Karban Pesach and Perek Ches. So, and the Sefer HaChinuch follows suit. The Minchas Chinuch makes that point. So, the Rambam seems to be consistent with everything we've said until now. There are other Moneh HaMitzvahs, by the way, other people who counted the mitzvahs, Rav Sajigo and the Yereim, the Smak, people like them, who assume that Achilas Maror is its own independent mitzvah. They quote it as a separate mitzvah, and of course there are major nafkaminas. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the major nafkamina is, what if you had no Karban Pesach? Whatever, for whatever reason, you just weren't able to eat Karban Pesach. We'll see an example of that soon. So would you still eat Maror? So according to the Rambam, would you eat Maror? There's no reason to, right? It's only a mitzvah within Karban Pesach. Very good. But if you hold like the other opinions, Reb Sajigon and the Yereim and the Smak, and you assume that Achilas Maror is its own mitzvah, so then okay, Karban Pesach you don't have, but at least do the other mitzvah. What, just because you don't have Karban Pesach, you're going to talk Lashon Hara? You got to keep the rest of the mitzvahs, right? You're allowed to keep Maror, even though you don't have Pesach, so you should. So you should. The problem is, and this is in source number 5, it's a Gemara Pesachim on the Chav Chesem Beis, Rav Daniel HaBavli, who presented a bunch of questions to Rav Avram ben Rambam, the son of the Rambam. So Rav Daniel HaBavli brings a raya against the Rambam from the Gemara in Pesachim here on Chav Chesem Beis. The Gemara says that if you have an Arel or a Tam, someone who's uncircumcised, or a Tame, someone who's ritually impure, or someone who's Derech HaChoka, someone who's too far away, he can't perform the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says that there's a pasuk which teaches you that in all of those cases, even though you're not going to be able to bring, or you're not going to bring the Karban Pesach, even so, you still eat matzah umara. That's what the Gemara says here in source number 5. Again, Gemara Pesachim on the Chaf Ches Amud Beis. So what's the Gemara implying? That even though you don't have a Karban Pesach, what do? You eat matzah. That makes sense because there's a separate mitzvah of matzah. What else? Maror, the Gemara says. So apparently the Gemara is telling us that even though you don't have Karban Pesach, you do eat maror. And yet the Rambam told us that maror is totally dependent on, is totally tied up with Karban Pesach. So why is the Gemara telling us here that without a Karban Pesach, you would eat maror? You shouldn't eat maror. It's not its own mitzvah. It's not independent. It's tied up with Karban Pesach. You can't bring the Karban Pesach. Too bad. You lost out on maror as well. So Avram ben Rambam offers a defense for his father. It happens to be the same defense that Tosas on the page reject. Rav Avraham ben Rambam suggests that the Gemara doesn't mean that you have to eat Maror. It doesn't mean you're obligated to eat Maror. It means you're allowed to. This is a strange idea that Tosas don't understand. You might have thought that since Matzah and Maror are tied up with Karban Pesach, they have some level, I don't know, they have some level of Kedusha, they have some level of Karban to them. So the same way that an Arel, a Tameh, someone who's too far away, can't eat the Karban Pesach, so too they can eat the matzah and the maror. Very fascinating. I mean, the pasuk ties them together so much that they take on the status of the kudshim, of the carbon of Pesach. And therefore, the Torah is coming saying, no, but you can. You're still allowed to eat maror. You don't have to. You don't get a mitzvah if you do it. There's no point to do it. But the Gemara is saying that if you wanted, you could. Very interesting answer that the son of the Rambam suggested. Again, the Tosas rejected this. The Meiri, in his commentary on that Gemara, offers a different suggestion, which I don't know if it's more satisfying, but it's different. He says that sometimes you have in Shas that there are terms that just go together. You know, even though no one thinks that you should eat Mara, because there's no point in eating Mara, because there's no mitzvah, there's no Karban Pesach, but whenever the Gemara says matzah, it always spits out Mara as well. Whenever it said, there's certain groups in the Gemara that are always listed together. So in this case, the Gemara didn't mean literally that a person should eat the Mara. There's no point to eat the Mara, according to the Rambam. It's not a mitzvah, unless you have a Karban Pesach. Rabbeinu David says this as well in the Gemara, in his commentary. There's no point in eating the Mara. There's no Karban Pesach. What mitzvah is there? Okay, but the Gemara said you should eat matzah. Matzah, there is a point to eating, even though you don't have a Karban Pesach. Matzah has its own mitzvah. And once it said matzah, the Gemara just spits out Mara as well. You hear why that's also not super satisfying, because you expect the Gemara to be very, you know, specific and very rigorous in terms of the words that it uses, but then you find that sometimes the Gemara just has terminologies it throws around, and here it doesn't mean it very literally, it doesn't mean specifically, it just got dragged along Gemara with the matzah. So that's what some suggest in the Gemara over here. Either way, the Gemara in Pesachim on the Kuf Chaf that we referenced before asserts that the mitzvah Bizman Hazeh of Achila on Seder night is limited only to matzah. Meaning there is no mitzvah d'oraisa biblically to eat maror Bizman Hazeh nowadays. Why? We don't have a Karban Pesach. So it was totally tied to the Karban Pesach. Says the Gemara Pesachim, so much so that nowadays there is no mitzvah on a Torah level of eating maror. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah, midaraisa, by Erev Tochu Matzah. So that's a pasuk. The pasuk said you have to eat matzah even without a Karban Pesach. But maror, there really is no obligation. Midrabanan, just rabbinically, we have a chova, we have an obligation to eat Mara, but it's not Daraisa, it's actually Darabanan. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim and Kuf Tes Vav, a few blot earlier, made the same point, and then said that a person should be careful on a Seder night, that if they're eating their matzah and they're trying to be Mekayim, their mitzvah Daraisa of matzah, they shouldn't put Mara on top of it. Because if they put Mara on top of it, that mitzvah Darabanan of Mara is Mevatel, it nullifies the taste, and therefore the mitzvah of the achilas matzah. So you shouldn't mix them together because you want to ruin the mitzvah d'oraisa by lumping together the mitzvah d'rabanan with it. But they're clearly distinguished. Matzah has its own inherent mitzvah. Maror is not only counted as a mitzvah within Karban Pesach, but therefore, if you don't have a Karban Pesach, or nowadays when we never have a Karban Pesach, you do not have a mitzvah d'oraisa of maror. Only mid'rabanan we have a chiyuv on the Seder night to eat maror. That's a Gemara. The Gemara assumes that. I didn't think to put on the page, but yeah, I didn't put on the page, but that's a Gemara in Kuf Chaf in Maseches Pesachim. How linked or not linked, you know, Karban Pesach and Achilas Mara are to each other will have many, many nafkuminas, many, many differences la halacha. Before we get into some of the more, or one of the more practical ones, just one interesting one to note. Until what time on the Seder night are we supposed to eat the Karban Pesach? By what time? Right. So that's a machlokes tanayim in the Gemaras, in the Mishnayos. Whether it's all night or until chatzos, we assume that you should eat the Karban Pesach by chatzos, which is why we always make sure we eat the matzah. Yeah, exactly. By chatzos on the Seder night, correct. What about maror? So this seemingly would depend, this is what the Achronim point out, this would seemingly depend on our very question, meaning if achilas maror is its own mitzvah, so then, if you don't know that it's supposed to be until midnight, until chatzos, then maybe you can go all night. Maybe you could have mara at any point during the night. Forget about the fact that you have to have the taste of matzah in your mouth at the end of the night. You could eat the mara all night long. If mara is inherently tied to Karban Pesach, then the same way that just like Karban Pesach has to be eaten by chatzos, so too matzah has to be eaten by chatzos. So we'll say the exact same thing about mara, that it has to be eaten by chatzos. But if maror is its own separate mitzvah, not related to matzah, not related to Karban Pesach, then the maror should have its own time. It can go all night. So initially, we all would know the answer to this. Initially, maror was completely tied up to Karban Pesach. Al matzah sumrom yochlu. They're completely tied. It's just like the ketchup to the Karban Pesach. So there's not much to talk about. If Karban Pesach has to be eaten by chatzos, so too maror. However, nowadays, we're not eating maror on a d'oraisa level. We're not eating maror on a biblical level of, oh, part of the Karban Pesach, we eat the maror. It's a new mitzvah. It's an entirely new mitzvah. It's a din d'rabanan. It's totally not mandated by the Torah. It's a new din d'rabanan, a rabbinic mitzvah that we have to eat maror, and therefore it could have its own time constraints or kulas in this case. And because of that, even though the matzah has to be eaten by chatzos because it's inherently on a d'oraisa level still tied to the Karban Pesach, maybe the maror has all night long mid'rabanan. And as such, the post can point out that if for some reason, it shouldn't happen to us too often nowadays, but if for some reason, you know, somebody got past chatzos and never ate their maror, So they should probably at some point over the rest of the night consume, we'll talk about whether kazayis in a second, of maror over the course of the night. And they shouldn't make a bracha of achilas maror, because that's a question whether they're really still chayiv after chatzos. But since the mitzvah derabanan is different than the mitzvah daraisa, so maybe you're still chayiv over the course of the night, and you should really eat the maror at some point, even if you missed the zman of chatzos. Yeah. You look at source number 6 on page number 2. This is the halacha that we're going to spend the rest of the time on. So the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Ve'el yirachas sh'adam yotze behen yidei chavas v'pesach. This could be a part 2 easily. What are the different species of, you know, leafy vegetables that are usable for maror? So each of these is, you know, a Hebrew or Aramaic term, and you have to translate each of them, and one of them is particularly controversial. But chazeres is lettuce, so that's first on the list, and we assume that, practically speaking, that is the best thing to use for maror. There are questions about this. That's why it could be a shir in of itself. There are questions. It's not so bitter. Do you really need bitter? How bitter do you need it to be? The fact that it becomes bitter if you leave it in the ground, does that matter? So there's what to talk about in terms of chazaris, but it's first on the list because it's the priority, it's the best one. Tamcha is, you know, controversially translated as horseradish, chrein, right? Those types of things, but not clear at all that that's the case, and that's led to a big controversy about whether horseradish works, chrein specifically, when it's ground up. Not charbona from the Megillah, something similar. Uva ulshin and maror. Very helpful term. So there are 5 species listed over here, okay? And the Mishnah says, mitstarfim lekazayas. And this is a fascinating halacha. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but generally speaking, when you have different yisurim, I don't know, you have, you know, pasur v'chalav and nevela, or whatever, different yisurim, dam and chalav, different things that are usr, they're both usr, they don't combine. If you have half a kazayas of chalav and half a kazayas of dam, even though you had a full kazayas of isr, but they're 2 different yisurim, they don't match up, they don't connect. Here, the mission assumes that if you have one type of maror, half of a kazayas, and another type of maror, half a kazayas, and you put them together and you eat them together, so that counts as a kazayas if you eat them within the time that you're supposed to eat a kazayas. Very fascinating halacha. Okay, that part we're not getting into, but what's the obvious implication over here? How much maror do you have to eat at the Seder? A kazayas. It sounds like the shear, right, the amount of maror that a person has to eat, is a kazayas. And as such, it's helpful that if you have a little bit of what we'll call tamcha, and a little bit of lettuce, and you put them together, and it combines the kazayas, that's enough. But the ikar din, though, the halacha that you're learning here, is that you certainly do have to eat a kazayas of maror. Does that make sense to all of us? Yeah, like every time we have a mitzvah of achila, we have to have a kazayas, correct? Kazayas is always the shear, often, usually the shear, of achila when it comes to mitzvahs of the Torah. However, if you look in source number 7, you have a very cryptic and very troubling comment of the Rush. The Rush here says, Yatza, he's talking about a case that I just skipped the beginning. So if you're eating them consecutively and you're not waiting enough time in between, they will combine into the shear of kazayas. Ready? Since we make a bracha, when we eat the maror, we make the bracha of asher kedeshana b'mesosa v'tzivanu al achilas maror, sarach sheyochel kazayas, you must consume a kazayas, an olive size of maror, de'ein achila b'pachas mikazayas. Because there's no such thing ever as a mitzvah of achila where you eat less than a kazayas. Every time we have achila, you have to do a kazayas. And we make here a bracha of al achilas maror, which implies that we're doing an achila. And achila always is a kazayas size. So you have to have a kazayas by maror as well. That's what he says, right? Aval birakos harishonos, that's karpas. When we have the, whatever you guys have, you know, the potato or the, what else do people do? Radish or bananas, whatever you use for your karpas. So birakos harishonos from Mevarchel and Borei Pir Adama. You don't say Adama. You don't say al achilas maror. You just say Borei Pir HaAdama or al achilas karpas. You just say a bracha berachas anenim. Ve'ein maskir naleim achila. You don't say the word achila at all. Ein sarach mehem kazayas. Therefore, you don't need a kazayas. That's a question whether you know you have to be very careful about not having kazayas or not. We do tend to try to avoid having a kazayas of what else do people use? Parsley. Right? People use different types of things. Whatever your vegetable is, you're supposed to have less than a kazayas of it. Whether you should smack your, you know, brother, sister, cousin over the head when they love the potatoes and they're so hungry because they're 2 things that I always find this with. One is when the person next to you is eating more than a kazayas of potatoes in salt water at the Seder night, all of a sudden you're like the biggest kanai ever, like you're throwing rocks at them that you were miyate before Shabbos to use on the Seder night. And the other thing is also, I feel like on Tisha B'Av, when you see someone sitting, you're like, I think that chair is a little too high. Like everyone's going over and telling people they're sitting on chairs that are too high. Those 2 things, I don't know, drives everyone crazy. So and talking between washing and eating also is like the biggest thing. It became like violating eating on Yom Kippur. So you're not supposed to eat more than a kazayas of a karpas. Okay, but when it comes to maror, so the rush, you absolutely have to eat a kazayas. Why? So you and I would have said because it's a mitzvah, achilas maror. Even if it's a mitzvah derabanan, it's achilas maror. It's a mitzvah achili. You have to eat a kazayas. You always have to eat a kazayas for a mitzvah. That's not what the rush says. What does the rush say? He needs an excuse. The rush says you would have thought. That you don't have to eat a kazayis. You don't need a full shear of maror on the Seder night. But we say a bracha. Asher kedeshanu mitzvosu v'tzvanu al achilas maror. Once we're saying the word achila, it would be a lie if we didn't have a kazayis. So once we're saying that we're eating, we have to really go to town. We have to really eat the full amount and have a kazayis. This is very, very strange. Without the nusach ha-bracha, without the word achila in the bracha, you would have thought that you don't need a kazayis for achilas maror. Only because the bracha says so, that's what the rush is telling us. It's very, very, very strange. So all the achronim are very busy with this rush. They're very, very bothered. The Shagas Ari and Simon Kuf is particularly upset, but again, you have achronim all over who are bothered by this for multiple different reasons. One of them, or two of them, that the Shagas Ari raises, first of all, like we said before, Achilas Maror is a mitzvah. So all mitzvahs need a kazayis. You don't need an excuse, Rush. You don't need to be apologetic about the shear of kazayis. That's first of all. But second of all, we know that Maror is connected to matzah. If matzah needs a kazayis, then for sure Maror needs a kazayis. They're iskish adadi. They're connected to each other. They always go hand in hand. So if you need a kazayis for one, of course you need a kazayis for the other. So how do you deal with this rush? Why is the rush telling us it's such a chiddush that you need a kazayis only because we say a bracha like that? What are you talking about? So they quote the Rav Elva Soloveitchik in the Shirim, and it's quoted in the ustensils, what we call it, the Shirim that were written not by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, but from the Shirim, people who wrote notes of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik on the Gemara. So sometimes they slip in things from Rav Elva, his son, the Rav's uncle, into those notes. So here they have from Rav Elva Soloveitchik that Maror, we understood from before, is not a standalone mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which is connected to the Karban Pesach. Meaning, we talk about until now as saying, oh, it's connected to Karban Pesach, therefore it's not counted separately. We said a whole bunch of things. The other thing that comes out is that there really is no mitzvah of Achilas Maror. There's no real mitzvah of Achilas Maror. Achilas Maror is not a mitzvah. It's just something that goes along with Achilas Basar of Pesach. But it's not really a standalone mitzvah. It's not really an act that we're told you have to eat Maror. You don't really have to eat Maror. You have to eat Karban Pesach, and that comes along with Maror. So there's no actual mitzvah of Achilas Maror. Midrabanan there is, but it makes sense that the rabbis, when they instituted the mitzvah, did it along the same lines as the Torah. Or at least we don't have a proof that they necessarily made it a real mitzvah Achila. It just goes along with the Seder night. It's not something that inherently stands alone as its own mitzvah. And as such, you wouldn't have known that it needs a shear of kazayas. You wouldn't have known. It's not a mitzvah to eat Maror. It's a mitzvah to Karban Pesach. And along with that goes the Maror. But who knows if you actually have to make a bracha? Sorry, who knows if you actually have to have a gzayis of Maror? Because, hey, it's not really a mitzvah of eating. It's not really a mitzvah of achila. Says the Rosh, oh, but we say al achilas Maror. We do say a bracha on the Derabanan nowadays even. We say the bracha on the mitzvah al achilas Maror. And therefore, it must be that we have to have a gzayis because once we're making a bracha of achila, we have to put our maror where our mouth is and eat the kazayis, which is what we're referring to when we say achila. So that's a fascinating answer that Rav Elva Soloveitchik, other achronim as well, suggest that the reason why the rush had to do this whole twisting and turning and getting out of this difficult question that we never would have thought was a question was because the whole mitzvah of achilas maror is really not a mitzvah the way we envisioned it, but rather it's just something that goes along with the Pesach. Oh, but when once we say achila in our bracha, now we need to eat a kazayis. We'll see another answer of Linether Mirta Hashem soon. That's really, really fascinating. If we get there, b'siyat d'shmaya, but that's the simple answer that's offered by some of the achronim. Now, if you look in Shulchan Aruch Taf Ayin Hey Aleph, we don't have it in the sheet, but we're going to get to the source 8 in a second. The Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha that maror always needs a kezayis. That when you eat a maror at the seder, you need to have a kezayis. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Rav Baal Tanya, so he suggests that, and this is what we're going to mention in source number 8, he suggests that since Bizman Hazem, Maror is only Midarabanan. Nowadays, Maror is only a rabbinic mitzvah, so we can be lenient on the size of the kazayas. Meaning, we certainly have to have a kazayas. Whether it's because of the rush's excuse, or because you think it's a mitzvah achila, whatever the reason is, we're certainly going to end up having a kazayas of Maror, because that's the mitzvah, and that's the bracha that we're making. However, there are two ways to construe the size of the kazayas. One of them is a third of a beitza, a third of an egg, and one of them is a half an egg. half an egg, I always get these things wrong, fractions, but half an egg is bigger than a third of an egg. Pretty sure my wife told me that. So half of an egg is the more machmir size of a gzayis, correct? A bigger amount of food. So when it comes to mitzvahs d'oraisa, we should be very careful to have a big gzayis, half of an egg size. When it comes to mitzvahs d'rabanan, it's not as we're not as worried. We could be a little more makel, we could be more lenient. So you could have a third of an egg size, and that could count as a gzayis. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav suggests, and he says that's the difference between matzah and mar. Matzah on the Seder night is a d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah. Nowadays also, by Erev Tochlu Matzos, the Pasuk says that you have to eat matzah even without a Karban Pesach. So you have to have the big kazayas to make sure you're really yotze. When it comes to maror, so it's still a kazayas, you still have to have a kazayas, but you could be a little more lenient on this year. If you look in source number 8, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Siman Tav Pei Vav, but he doesn't come out like that, halacha l'maisa, practically speaking, in the following sense, look in the bold, ul'inyan dina, meaning practically speaking, b'mitzvah d'araisa, could go on b'mitzvah esay d'achilas matzah, yesh l'hachmir b'lecha akapanim kechatzi beitza. So when it comes to a mitzvah d'araisa, a biblical command of achilas matzah, you absolutely should be machmir and have the bigger amount of a kezayis. Ule'inin marur, u'chai gavna, shu d'rabanan. When it comes to achilas mar, which is only rabbinic, yesh lismoch b'di eved im achil kishlish beitza. If a person only ate a third of an egg size, the smaller amount of a kezayis, they could rely on that. Don't worry, they were yotze the mitzvah. Does that sound like he's saying you should do that? Absolutely not. If you ended up accidentally eating less than the amount, don't worry about it, you were yotze. Ach lechatchila, ideally, kevan shetzarech levarech ha'amar, since you are making a bracha of achilas mar, you want to do this the right way, nir de'ein lahakil bazeh. You shouldn't be lenient about this, like the Shulchan Aruch Rav allowed us to be. You shouldn't be makel about this. Imlo shehu adam chalash, unless he's a weak person, v'kashlo, and it's difficult for him to, I don't know, eat that much of a marer, yachal ismuch v'lechal rakishlish. Then you could have the smaller amount. But if a person is healthy and able to handle a full kazayas of a marer, so they should not be lenient about this, says the Mishnah Berurah. If they're stuck, they could be lenient on it. Or if they made the mistake, they could be lenient and assume that they were yotze the mitzvah. But ideally, you wouldn't be makel. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is referencing the same leniency that the Shulchan Aruch Rav was having. He's just pulling it back a little bit and saying, don't rely on this lechatchila. Rather, only use it in a case where it's absolutely necessary. However, when you put together all of the kulos over here, there's two basic kulos here. One is that the whole mitzvah of achilas mar nowadays is really midar abanan. Two is that... Oh, my... I got 12,000 steps. Maybe a party. I think it counts. Whatever. I always do better on sheer nights. So there's really two derabanans or two kulas that are combining over here. First of all, the whole idea of maror doesn't exist nowadays. Midarais is only midarabanan. Second of all, like the rush, maybe kazayis is really not necessary on a derais level, and the whole thing is a double derabanan. Midarabanan we have a mitzvah maror. Midarabanan we have a sheer of kazayis. So it's really a double kula over here. So some suggest that Warman. I went to, I graduated Hank High School. That's where I am. I don't know if people are familiar with Hank, but so I mentioned him before. Rabbi Shlomo Warman was the, I think he was called the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank. Not in my time, before my time. I think he came once when I was in high school. I can't really remember. Maybe he came for Yom HaShoah because he has a book of memoir about the I think he lived in Leipzig during the war. So he came to speak about it maybe, but other than that, I don't think I ever met him. But he was just this like super genius Talmud Chacham who was in Hink, being Rosh Yeshiva there for whatever reason. He wrote a lot of books. He wrote a lot of books that are very, very helpful, very clear, Svarim and Halacha. So he has one on Hilchos Pesach, Oros of Pesach. So he has there that the practice of some of the Chassidish Rebbeim, who were very, they're actually very makel and had very little marer and still made a bracha. Meaning they said Alachilas marer and they had less than what seems to be a kazayis. They probably also had chrein, different story. He talks about some particular examples like Rav Naftali Rupchus or others. So he says that's what they were relying on, is that there's really a double kula, double leniency over here. First of all, the whole mitzvah is derabanan, is an enactment from the rabbis that didn't exist on a derais level. And on a derais level, you probably didn't need a kazayas. So you put it all together to have less than a kazayas, they didn't think was such a big deal. It's possible that they were weak. Possibly they were ill, and therefore they were relying on like a Mishnah Berurah type of a kula, but he writes in like a bracket over there that he's not sure. He doesn't know for sure that these people were particularly weak. He just knows they were makel on this. He also mentions that his family was particularly lenient about this as well, and that he asked Rav Lazer Silver, who was his Rebbe. He always quotes his Rebbe, Rav Lazer Silver, from Cincinnati, or as Rav Schechter quotes him from Cincinnati, because he had an accent like that. So Rav Lazer Silver told him that he shouldn't undo the minhag of his family, but in order to satisfy both opinions, he should have a little bit of lettuce and put on a little bit of chrein on top of that, and together it'll combine to be a kazayis, like we said before. And for sure, your grandparents were okay with chrein because they're from Galicia. He had a whole idea over here, and he put it together, and he was makel for him in that way. Yeah, whatever. This is a kula that he's trying to explain, being matzik this practice. He also quotes that the Kazhuk Glover dealt with this at length, that certain people have this practice, and the Kazhuk Glover does try to defend it. But he notes that in later editions of the Eretz Tzvi, which is the tshuvas of the Kazhuk Glover Gaon, Rav Aritzi Fromer, so he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Lublin, killed in the war. So he wrote on the later editions of his published tshuvas, he wrote a note on the side that says, I only wrote this to be nice to the people who have this practice, but I don't think you should do this. I think you should have a kazayis. I think you should certainly have a kazayis of Mara on the Seder night. But for those who don't, I was just trying to defend their practice, but the ideal is obviously to have a kazayis, which is what the Shulchan Aruch says, what the Mishnah really says, and that should be the common practice. But okay, but you see at least where the kula comes from, where people came up with such a thing that maybe you need less than a kazayis. Either way, the Rush is apologetic about it, but that's what he comes out, la halacha, that's what he passed in the Shulchan Aruch, that you need a kazayis for whatever reason that might be. Now, that's all trying to explain the need for a kazayis, where it comes from, what level it's at, and the difficulty of the Rush that we quoted in source number 7, that he's apologetic and defends it by saying the bracha has the word achila in it, therefore we need a kazayis. The Achronim, however, suggests another really fascinating, sharp answer. We'll talk about this and then we'll finish, which is really amazing and kind of opens your eyes in terms of the mitzvah of Mara in general, in terms of explaining the Rush. Meaning, again, how could we have had a Havamina? How could we have thought initially that Achilas Mara did not need a kazayis? Why would we need the Rush to tell us, don't worry, it's because the bracha says Achila? Like, what do we need that for? Of course it needs a kazayis. Where does the question even start from? Isn't it obviously a mitzvah of Achila? Even if it's a condiment, even if it's ketchup, you have to eat the ketchup. It's a mitzvah of Achila. So what are we talking about over here? So the Achronim quote from other Achronim, who suggest that an amazing idea. The halacha of ein achila pachos mikazayis, that you never have an instance in the Torah of a chiyuv to eat something or an iser to eat something where it's less than a kazayis. Kazayis is always the basic, you know, shear, the basic amount that a person has to eat to be yotzei or to be over on a mitzvah. Where does that come from? Why is that true? So the answer is, and Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this in a different way in Isha Halacha a little bit, which is important, but not for now. In a basic sense, it defines derech achila, meaning a person, when you take a lick of something, you take a morsel of food, it's not eating. I don't know what it is. It's tasting. It's not even snacking, right? It's just tasting. You're just tasting the food before Shabbos. You take a little lick, you take a little tiny piece, that's not eating. The Torah understood that an achila chashuva, a derech achila, the normal standard of eating starts only when you have a kazayis. When you have this much, you know, the amount of an olive, that's already counts as that you've started eating. But until then, you're just nibbling. You're not really eating. So derech achila, the way of eating, the normal way of eating, is defined by having a kazayis. Says the Rush, listen to this, says the Rush, is maror ever a derech achila? Now, okay, we use lettuce, so it's hard to, but just, you know, bear with me over here. We're eating something that's supposed to be bitter. And we're eating lettuce in a way that we don't usually eat lettuce. So is it ever really derech achila? It's not the normal way of eating. Nobody eats mar. Nobody eats bitter things just to eat bitter things. We're doing it because we're trying to make kind of mitzvah of mar, that we have to have something bitter on the Seder night. But we're not eating. You can't call that eating. You can call it consuming mar. You can call it putting mar in your mouth. But you can't really call that eating. And because of that, maybe you don't need a shear of kazayis. Let's give a little background to explain that. There's a sefer by, I believe his first name is, I think it's Rav Binyamin Karlbach. I might be wrong about that, but he's a Rebbe in the Mir. Maybe he's gone off since then, but I think he's in the Mir. It's called Chatzel Sasharon. He's huge, fat Svarim on Chumash. Now he puts him out on the Moadim also. So he has on Pesach. So there he quotes some Achronim about this. And he quotes a Machlokas in the early Achronim, the Primagadim and the Bir Alacha. The Primagadim says that if someone eats a vegetable that is so bitter that it's not even roi la'achila, it's not even fit for human consumption, it's so disgusting that no one would ever eat it. And you eat it for Mara, because you want to be frum, you want to be yotzei, you know, such bitter avdus in Mitzrayim, source number 9, you have the Be'er Lach over here. So the Prima Gadim suggests that it's possible that you're still yotzei the mitzvah of Mara. The Be'er Lach says that's impossible. That's in source number 9. The Be'er Lach says, what are you talking about? It can't be. Prima Gadim has a raya from a Gemara and Pesachim, but the Be'er Lach says it can't be. If it's not food, it's not food. Mara needs to be food, right? Maybe not. Maybe what they're arguing about is exactly this point. The Be'er Lach thinks Mara is a mitzvah achila. You have to eat a food. The food has to be bitter. That's the taste that has to be quality of the food. But you certainly have to be eating. And if that's the case, it's probably obvious to you that you need a kazayis, because there's a mitzvah of eating. However, the Prima Gadim is saying, no, the mitzvah of maror, of achilas maror, is not about eating. We put maror in our mouth not because we're trying to eat maror on Seder night. We're trying to express the distasteful nature of the slavery. We're trying to be memarer, to bitter up our mouth. We're trying to put something into our mouth that tastes bitter. You don't have to eat it. It's not about eating. It's about having that disgusting taste in our mouth to remind us of the meriris, of the bitterness of the slavery in Mitzrayim. The mitzvah is limarer piv bimara, to bitter your mouth, as a verb, to bitter your mouth with mara. And he brings a raya. You look in source number 10, the Rashbam. The Gemara tells us that bala mara lo yatsa, that if a person just simply swallows mara, they don't chew it, they don't let it touch the taste buds, they just swallow it, they're not yotze the mitzvah. Why? So the Rashbam says, listen to the words in the bold, deba inon ta'am mara, you need to taste the mara, vileka, demishim hachi kapit rachmana, this is what the Torah wants us to do. Lemarer es piv shel ochel zecher levayemaru es chayehem. To make sure that the person who's consuming the mara tastes the bitterness of the mara. That's the definition of the mitzvah. The definition of the mitzvah is that you taste the bitterness. This is very important, by the way. We're not going to get into it now, but I think Rav Asher Weiss wrote about this as well, but I only really know about the source from my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita, because I worked on it during COVID, that, you know, during COVID people lost their taste. Two things happened. Some people lost their taste, and then some people also, the taste buds got like flipped or whatever, meaning people I know who like coffee, all of a sudden, if they drink coffee, they couldn't. They had this bad taste in their mouth for days afterwards. So that's a separate question. But in terms of the first question, if you lost your taste because of COVID, so eating marer, does that really, are you yotze the mitzvah? So Rav Shechter has in that essay that he wrote about this topic, he says, not sure. Because the Gemara says you need to taste the marer, because that's exactly the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not consuming it, just getting it down your throat, swallowing it. Otherwise, swallowing would be enough. No, you need to taste the bitterness of the marer. And because of that, Rav Shechter, I think, had suggested at the time that a person should listen in to someone else's bracha, because you're not sure you're really able to be mekayim the mitzvah. Say amen to their bracha, then eat the marer, and hopefully you're yotze. If not, you're probably putter, because you know couldn't fulfill the mitzvah. That's based on our point as well, that the taste is what we're trying to go for. You're trying to taste bitterness on the Seder night, not eat marah. Taste bitterness. Oh, it's not a mitzvah of eating. It's not a mitzvah of achila. So who says it needs a kezias? Who says maybe the smallest, even the smallest amount? If you put a little bit of marah in your mouth, if it tastes bitter, that's enough to be yotzei the mitzvah. The Netziv has a very famous letter to his son, Rav Chaim Berlin. The Netziv had they have two last names, but they're both his son, Rav Meir Bar Ilan. And Rav Chaim Berlin are both sons of the Netziv, one younger and one much older. And you have, you know, Bar Ilan in Eretz Yisrael and Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn, different, turned out differently. But so they both his sons. So he has a letter, a famous letter to his son, Rav Chaim Berlin, where he writes that you have this chumrah, that you eat a ton of maror, and you try to have as much maror as you can on the Seder night. He says, usually I think it's a good idea. If you have more and more matzah, it's more and more mitzvos. But he says it doesn't apply to maror. The point of marah is not to eat. If it was a mitzvah eating, then eat more and more, and that'll be more of a mitzvah. But then it says it's not more of a mitzvah to eat more marah. Have a little marah and you taste the bitterness, you're yotze the mitzvah. The point is the taste, not the amount of food that you consume. So again, you never would have known that you need a kezias, because it's not a mitzvah achila. It's a mitzvah of meriris, of making sure you taste bitterness. Who knows if you need a full kezias? Says the Rosh, okay, but once we're saying the bracha, achilas mara, shekhet deshanim is supposed to be al achilas mara, so we're saying the word achila, now we can't say the word achila and not have a kezias. He's like apologizing, but he's explaining you have to have a kezias. But really, we wouldn't have known you have to have a kezias, because it's not really a mitzvah achila. It's just a mitzvah to make sure that there's a bitter taste in our mouth. The last, the nafkamina, which is fascinating, source number 11, the Rama is quoting here from the Beis Yosef, who's quoting from the Rabbeinu Yocham, who's quoting from the Rashba. So the Rishonim basically say, a chumra, that a person should not eat any lettuce on Erev Pesach. You know, we have that, we shouldn't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? So one of the, we shouldn't eat anything on Erev Pesach. Why? Because we want to eat the matzah l'tayavon. We want to eat the matzah with the, you know, we want to be enjoying with great relish, you know, the matzah that we're eating on the Seder night. So the Rishonim, and it's picked up here by the Rama, say, you shouldn't eat lettuce either on Erev Pesach. Why? Because we want to make sure that when you eat the maror later on, it should be with, you know, you should be hungry for it, you should be wanting it, and you should be eating it with, you know, again, like we said, you know, great relish, so to speak. That's quoted by the Rama. The Beis Yosef is very bothered by this, and this is quoted here, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the last verse on the page, Mar L'Teyovon, so ironically, the Mishnah Berurah chooses a term here, Vein L'Minag Zet Tam. This custom has no taste. It's a tasteless custom. So, what does that mean? Meaning it's better not to eat Mar L'Teyovon. It's better to eat Mar in a way that you don't enjoy it. So what are they arguing about over here? You should enjoy the mar, you shouldn't enjoy the mar. So maybe part of what they're arguing about over here, again, the Chatzal Zasharon suggests this as well, maybe part of what they're arguing about over here is exactly our point. What is the mitzvah of achilas mar? If it's a mitzvah of achila, then of course it has to taste bitter, but that's just the quality that it has to have. It's a character of the food that you're supposed to eat. But it's a mitzvah zachila. And when we do mitzvah zachila, we want to do mitzvah zachila l'teavon. We want to do mitzvah zachila on an empty stomach. We want to make sure when we do an achila that we're actually, you know, filling ourselves with that eating, with that consumption. And therefore, you shouldn't have lettuce on Erev Pesach either, because you want to make sure you're eating that first lettuce and, you know, that crunch really is meaningful to you on the Seder night. But if we assume, like we said until now, that no, the mitzvah of Mara is not about eating. It's not about eating lettuce. It's about tasting bitterness in your mouth. Then who cares? Adrab. You'd rather not have teavon. You'd rather not enjoy it. You'd rather just taste the bitterness. And even if you had lettuce on Erev Pesach, who cares? How does that impact the fact that you're tasting the bitterness now on the Seder night? So maybe they're arguing about exactly this point. And again, all of that comes back to this question of what is the mitzvah of Achilas Marah? Is the mitzvah of Achilas Marah really a mitzvah Achila? If it is, then of course you need a kezias, and the rush is hard to understand. But if the mitzvah of Achilas Marah is, no, to taste the bitterness of the slavery in Egypt through the Marah, then even if you're not actually eating, you'd be yotzei. And therefore, who says you need a kezias? Therefore, we need a chiddush. We need a novelty that through the bracha you see that you need a size of a kezias, but otherwise you might not have known that. And maybe that's another explanation for the rush. Okay, like I said, we called it all about Mara, but we spoke about one thing about Mara, but it's good to talk about the things in depth. Hopefully, got something out of it. Next week, we'll figure out what we're doing with another Mitzvah. Everyone have a wonderful night.